I wonder if in your house, you went home today, and a third of the lights didn't turn on. I wonder if maybe as we just sang in verse 4 there, we would no longer have a sacred, settled peace. We'd be hopping on the phone to call an electrician. And if one out of three of your regular items of clothing suddenly disappeared, you might be tempted to call the dry cleaner and go, did I drop off a big order of clothing that I don't remember? If a third of your Thanksgiving feast suddenly went missing this week, you'd probably be praying it was the cranberry and not the pies. And if our smartphone was suddenly one-third less as smart, I think we'd have some problems. Maybe it'd be time for a trade-in, time for us to, you know, get all the apps working that we want to have work. Well, maybe you'd understand why I've been talking about this one-third not working. Maybe you'd understand if you got this statistic, that 80% of Christians say they know far more about God the Father and about God our Savior Jesus Christ than they know about the Holy Spirit. It's as if we are working with a two-thirds God. And I hope today, I know I can't possibly talk about everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit in one short sermon, but I hope today that we can begin to appreciate even more what the Spirit is, what the Spirit does in our lives, all that He means to us. So to get started in that, I want to, as we look at this attitude of gratitude, getting more grateful for the Holy Spirit, I want to actually rewind a bit and go back about 600 years before Jesus is born. There in the Holy Spirit inspires the prophet Isaiah to tell the world what Jesus is going to be like. And as the Holy Spirit inspires him, here it is, I think you have this up on the screens, a new branch will grow from the stump of a tree, so a new king will come from the family of Jesse. The Holy Spirit was trying to tell everyone, you all loved King David, and you knew that God promised King David would always have an heir on the throne. Well, that promise is about to become true in the fullest, most wonderful way possible. And the Spirit will rest on that king. The Spirit will give him wisdom, understanding, guidance, and power. The Spirit will teach him to know and respect the Lord. It's an amazing promise that gets made 600 years before it happens. And that promise gets fulfilled when Jesus is baptized, when the Spirit comes and rests upon him, and then he begins very actively doing all that the Holy Spirit is guiding him to do of the Father's work. What's terrific about that also is that same Spirit rested on us in our baptism. That same Spirit is empowering us to do all of those things as well. The Spirit that empowered Jesus to do the work of the Father is empowering you and me today. What a great and awesome gift that is. What a great promise that we've had ever since our baptism. But, you know, let's even step back a bit before we get empowered to do the works of God. Let's remember what our dear friend Martin Luther said to us and how he taught us. We'll get to recite it a little bit as our creed today. That you and I cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in God or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls and enlightens us by his gifts. Well, before he empowered us to do any of that, he gives us those gifts. He empowers us to believe, or as Jesus put it in his wonderful, simple way in John 3, verse 5, I tell you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they are born again of water and the Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit to help us hear that whisper. You hear that whisper, yes, those promises are true. Yes, that thing that Jesus said 2,000 years ago is true for you. Yes, God meant that love, that promise, that grace for you, for now, for this season and this or this struggle that you're going through. Jesus gave that gift and that promise of the Spirit. And I think of that spirit in a couple of different stories. I don't know, maybe it's because we've been setting up our Christmas trees at our house. Trees are on my mind. But Nathaniel, before he ever meets Jesus, Nathaniel's under a tree praying. And later on when he comes and sees Jesus, he's praying, he's hoping, the Spirit's nudging faith in his heart. Later on when he comes and sees Jesus, he says, "You are my Lord and my God." Faith created in him by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit nudged little Zacchaeus, that wee little man who was ripping everybody off as a tax collector, and nudged him. The Savior's coming, the one who can change your life. Climb up that tree so you can take a good look at him and let him take a good look at you and change your life. And then there was one more tree, really three trees. For as Jesus hung upon the tree of the cross, there were two thieves there, one of them bitter and going down in flames all the way to the other end, but the other one touched by the Holy Spirit, prompting and hoping and reaching out for mercy, saying, "Jesus, with Spirit-created faith, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom." Three trees, Jesus working and giving that gift of mercy, that promise there for everyone. All of us, nudging also, those promises are for you. I love how Jesus goes on and talks about that and in today's gospel reading, and in particular, how the Spirit not only creates faith in us, but helps us then find the answers, the things we are really thirsting for, find them in God alone. The Spirit quenches those thirsts. As Jesus said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, he stood up and in a loud voice called, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, living water will flow." If anyone is thirsty, maybe in your life you've been thirsty for acceptance. I just want friends. I just want my family to love me. You know I'm not perfect, but can they be there for me? My friends, my family. I just need security. And we think if we buy the things after this world, we figure somehow, some way, that'll satisfy that thirst. It never does. The car always needs replacing. The clothes always wear out. The phone always eventually decreases. Whatever it is in this world we think is going to fill us, never does. But Jesus said, "If you come to me, if you thirsty, come to me." And the Spirit says, yes, he'll settle you with his peace. Yes, he'll give you that sense of gratitude and fulfillment and a peace that nothing in this world can understand. And when our minds can't figure it out, when our hearts cannot bear it anymore, he fills us with that peace, greater than what our any mind can conceive or any heart ever needs. All of that given by the Holy Spirit. You know, I think a wonderful other gift that we can remember is that the Spirit inspired the Scriptures, inspired Isaiah to write what he wrote, inspired those other promises that we've already heard this morning, even that one from the Old Testament where it's, you know, bringing that honesty, that thirst to God. "My Spirit thirsts for you. I have struggles. I have needs, Lord." Instead of us trying to solve them on our own, the Spirit inspired David to write that so we knew to come there. The Spirit inspiring all of Scripture. And as we have in 2 Peter 1, "Above all, understand this, there has never been a prophecy of Scripture that came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You know, it is such a gift when you and I take time to read the Scriptures, when we let some of them settle into our heart and into our soul, so the Spirit can say, "You know that promise that God gives a peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart and your mind? That's what you need right now. Not anything you're going to find on TV, not anything you're going to find in the medicine cabinet or the liquor cabinet or out in the local mall. What you need is what he gives, and that promise is for you." One of the greatest gifts we can ever have is when we take the time to read and meditate on the Scriptures, the Spirit can say, "Yes, That's for you. Yes, that's true. Pray that right back to God so he makes it your gift. The Holy Spirit does all of that and communicates all of that to us. He's the one who gives us that new birth. That new birth, as Jesus said, that when we enter in and are born again by water and the Spirit, it changes us. It restarts us. We get second chances at life and in relationships and everywhere else. The God of the second chance who gives us that second birth, that new birth by the Spirit, so that you and I aren't just doing it by our own strength. We're saying the things that Jesus would say. We're doing the things Jesus would do. We serve the ones that Jesus would serve because the Spirit's empowering us to do that. None of us could stand in a pulpit or speak in Jesus' name or serve in any way if it wasn't for the Spirit making us whole. And all of us can be grateful and thankful for how he's shaping that character in us. Today's Bible class, I'm going to go even deeper. I've got about 9 more of these scriptures to try to get into. I know the sermon would get way too long if I did that, and we all want to just soak in what we've already heard. But I'll close again with this thought. You and I don't have to know how an internal combustion engine works to be grateful that our cars get us to and fro, right? I don't have to understand how there's a little tiny bit of radiation inside the smoke detector of my house that somehow recognizes the ions of dust and smoke floating around and goes off to save life and help us save our house when we had our kitchen fire last year. To be grateful for what a smoke detector can do. We may not be smart enough to understand all the ions and electricity flows to make our smartphones as smart as they are, but we can be grateful for how they help us connect to people across town or across the world. And we can't possibly cover in one sermon everything about the Holy Spirit, but I hope by the Spirit's strength, we can be more grateful for all the Spirit works in us. We could be more open to his work and more dependent on him and his power. And may God move us to gratitude for that power, for that comfort, and especially for that new life we have to walk with Jesus. Amen.